Okay, the volume is called Shefa Chaim from the Klausenberger Rebbe, and it's Maimer Lamed Aleph. He has a bunch of ma'amarim. I was debating which piece to learn, but he has several ma'amarim about Jewish unity as it expresses itself through Chanukah. Sort of the theme of this essay, but we'll see. We'll see a lot of amazing ideas. B'nusach ha'odah, in the formulation of the tefillah for Chanukah, Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan. Interesting. Yesh lava'er, lama nizkar Matisyahu b'shem Aviv? Why does it have to say Matisyahu ben Yochanan? Why is that a good question? It's a good question because if you just look on the other side of the page of the art scroll, right, across from Bimei Matisyahu, what do you see? Bimei Mordechai v'Esther. It doesn't say their parents' names. Masha'in kein Bimei Mordechai v'Esther, lo huzkar shem avos. Some it doesn't mention who they come from. So why over here does it say Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan? Why does it have to tell us that he's ben Yochanan? Okay. There's a lot of answers to that question. Seems like a small question, but it's actually a very big question. V'nira dihinei hayu oz har b'mi Yisrael shenim shechu achar hayivanim v'darcheyem. You have to understand there were many Jews. The whole fight of Hanukkah was maintaining a loyalty to our family, to our tradition. And there were many Jews who were drawn after the Avanim and their ways. V'lo hayu ru'uyim li Yeshua. And many of those Jews didn't really deserve to be saved. But Klal Yisrael was saved on Chanukah. It wasn't just that the Chashmonaim were saved, and Hashem, you know, rebuilt the world with those handful of Jewish resistance fighters. The Jewish people were saved. So why was everyone saved? There were so many Greek sympathizers. Why were they saved? But in the merit of tzedakah and chesed, they were able to be saved. We'll have to develop this idea and see how that is and why that is. Let's start with an amazing Gemara, he says. The Gemara at the end of Masechta Sukkah tells a very sad story about a Jewish woman who went astray. Maisa b'Miriam bas Bilga shehemira data. The Gemara tells the story of a woman named Miriam Bas Bilga who abandoned the faith. She abandoned her dat, right? Like dati. She abandoned her religion. She rebelled against her religion. V'holcha, and she went ahead, and she married a sardiot echar mimalche yavanim. She married some type of Greek officer, Rachman al-Islam. Kishenichlesu yavanim lahechal, haysa mevatas bisandla al-gabi ha-mizbeach. And when the Yavanim came into the Beis HaMikdash, to defile the Beis HaMikdash, she went over and she started stepping, like stamping with her foot on the top of the Mizbeach. Va'amra Lucas Lucas. Wolf. Yeah, wolf, wolf. Ad Masayata Mechalim Amonon Shel Yisrael. She started kicking the Mizbeach and saying, you know, mocking God, how long are you going to destroy the money of the Jewish people? Right? You know how much money is spent on these karbanos? We don't think about karbanos. We don't think about like how much money it actually costs to buy an animal. Imagine to bring a ram as an usham, you know, bring an isle, an expensive animal. Right? So she was kicking the mizbeach saying, you know, you foolish Mizbeach, which was mocking God. You take the money of the Jewish people, you don't even help them. Mamash, kfira. But the Klausenberger Rebbe said, Umitoch kilkalasa anuroam es shivcha. There's a lot of very deep Torah about it. Rebbe had a very famous teaching on this whole story of Miriam Bas Bilga, and some people even got upset at the Baba Rebbe. They thought, no, you're perverting this Gemara. And he learned this Gemara as an amazing revelation of the depths of Jewish connection. Even this woman in her moment of rebellion was actually in a certain way believing in Hashem in a very deep way. But the Klausenberger Rebbe had a similar mahalach. Klausenberger Rebbe said, from her disgrace we see her praise. That what? Shelechol ha'pachos nitztara b'tzarasam v'doicham shel Yisrael. Here you have this girl. She goes off the derech. She marries a Greek leader, a Greek general, some Greek officer, right? And she comes to defile the Beis HaMikdash, Rachman al-Etzlan. And yet, what's her complaint? Her complaint is, God, look how much we do for you and you don't do enough for us. So, you know, l'havdol, is that so different than like the Berdichever? Complaining to Hashem that, You don't take care of Klal Yisrael. When Levi Yitzchak Berditcher would petition God on behalf of the Jews and threaten Hashem to try to bring good to Klal Yisrael, okay, of heretical rebellion. But she was saying, Hashem, she was defending Klal Yisrael. She was arguing on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Hashem, I feel the pain of the Jewish people. They spend so much money on you, and what do they get out of it? Hagam amnam da afra lepuma. Even though we would say, you know, it's like dirt in her mouth, she'amra divrei abala v'apikorsis, even though she said words that are not fit to be said, and she said it in a very chutzpahdik way, b'chol zos, Hashem yisbarach adorei shumachapis as an akuda atova, gam ba'am ke'sha'ol. But we know that Hashem is searching to find what? The good point within every Jew. And you can imagine, says the Klausenberger Rabbi, that when Hashem heard Miriam Bas Bilga stamp on the Mizbeach and criticize God, Hashem also said, ah, well, look, she's fighting for the Jewish people. As much as she's blaspheming God, she's also defending the money of the Jewish people. The Gemara says in four places that the Torah is chas al mamonon shel Yisrael. Four different sugyos and shas where it talks about Hashem being sensitive to our money. So she's arguing, Hashem, you're not being sensitive enough to the Jewish people's money. That's a pretty holy claim. So you can imagine that even though on the one hand it's apikorsis, what she's saying, but Hashem is probably looking for the good point within, the nekuda tova, where Rabbi Nachman talks about finding the good points within a person. If we have to do that, we have to believe God can do that. The same way that Rachel mevakal banel. Why is Rachel Imenu able to defend us? Why is Rachel able to defend us? She said, God, I gave away my husband to my sister. I was willing to take a co-wife into the house, my own sister, and to allow her to marry my husband first, to marry Yaakov Avinu. I gave her the signs. So Hashem, what? You can't handle a little Avodah Zarah? You have such an inferiority complex that you can't handle a little Avodah Zarah? I took my own sister to be married to my own husband. And you feel threatened that the Jews, in addition to you, bring a little Avodah Zarah into their houses? And it's Rachel who's, of all the Avos and Imos, she's the one who's able to defend us. Right? She has that perspective. So Miriam Bas Bilga, in a certain way, is defending Klal Yisrael. She's saying, come on, God, look how much the Jews do for you. He quotes an amazing verse. He quotes from the Noam Megaldim in Parshas Netzavim, in the name of his father. The gam ha'aveira shehu nidach, ve'eino karev lepargud, im yesh b'ktsas kavana l'shamayim, Hashem berachamav yiratzehu. What does it mean? That even when a person does a sin that should cast one very far away, right? But Hashem sometimes looks at an Aveira and finds a good point within the Aveira. And if Hashem can identify a little bit of a good Kavana in the Aveira, then Hashem what? Hashem will actually draw that person or maybe even that Aveira close. Where do we see such an idea? Look how he reads this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you know this Pasuk, Im yeh nidacha b'ktzei ha-shamayim, the pasuk means that if a person will be driven off to the corners of the earth, right? So when Mashiach comes, Hashem will gather in the exiles. Hashem will bring everyone back. So the Noam Megaldim, Chassidus Shesefer, says in the name of his father, here's the vart. What does that mean? Ratzalomar. B'ktzei v'sof ha'davar. Yagia mimenu l'shamayim. Im yeh nidacha b'ktzei shamayim, meaning what? If at the very edge, if I could understand your action and like in the most extreme interpretation of your action actually brings out a little bit of shamayim, meaning here she is. You can look at her on the surface. You could say this woman is a Rasha. She married out of the faith. She abandoned her faith. She came here to disgrace the Beis Hamikdash. She's trampling the Beis Hamikdash as she's trampling the Mizbeach as she's blaspheming God. You can point out everything that she did wrong. But if you keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, you'll find a little bit of Shemayim in there. Find a little bit of L'shem Shemayim in there. A little bit of defense of Klal Yisrael. So im yeh nidacha b'ktzei l'shamayim, if you can find, even in the most extreme place, the most extreme interpretation of someone's behavior, if you can find a little bit of holiness in there, so then you know what Hashem does? Oz minito ze yikabetzcha Hashem lokecha misham yikachecha. Hashem is balam mitzchus, and Hashem finds that nekuda, and he brings the person back. So therefore, we have to read the story of Miriam Bas Bilga. We have to try to find something good in her behavior. And that's what the Klausenberger Rebbe is doing. He's saying, yeah, she was defending Klal Yisrael. And we'll see that caring about one another, even when we reject Hashem, is a very chashuv thing. Okay? Yeah.
How is she caring about Klal Yisrael?
Because she's saying, she's yelling at God, you take all this money, you take all this Jewish money, as they offer you all these karbanos, and you don't help them enough. So she has a complaint against God. Think how much money. Think how much money Jews spend on a lulav and an esrog and tefillin. Jews shouldn't have to be afraid of people hurting them for being Jewish. After all, they spend tens of thousands of dollars to send their kids to Jewish schools instead of public school. And Hashem, how do you not defend them more? So it's a very holy taina against Hashem. Yeah.
I heard a Chabad rabbi he was telling me, I don't remember the story exactly, but it was Chabad rabbi was talking to someone who was out on the derech b'chalal, and then he was saying, asking about keeping Shabbos, and he's like, no, Rabbi, I don't keep Shabbos. I eat pig on Shabbos. He's like, oh, it's like, you eat pig every day of the week or you eat pig on Shabbos? It's like, no, I dafka eat pig on Shabbos. He's like, oh, so you keep Shabbos. And I heard this, like, what do you mean? And it's like what you're saying. It's like, the person is like going against it, but if he really didn't care,
right,
then he would eat it every day of the week, but he like right. realizes
right. this is Shabbos is different. Shabbos is special.
If she didn't care, why would she
right.
come?
Right, that's right. That's right. That's right. So it seems like a ridiculous thing, but we have to believe in that good point within every Elokai neshama shenatata bi tohorahi. Right? My ruach can get damaged, my nefesh can get damaged. There's a level of soul called neshama that can't be damaged. It cannot be damaged. In the Yismach Yisrael, he says that Hanukkah was the closest we ever came to damaging that inner nekuda, that inner pure point. That's how bad Yavan was. But that's why we have to work that much harder on Hanukkah to prove over and over again, no, the point is still pure. The nekuda inside of a Jew is pure. It's holy. It's intact. Yeah.
I was just thinking about the fact that with the Yavanim, it wasn't about whether there's a God or not, because the Yavanim believed in gods.
Right.
It was about whether Hashem was the only God. It was about whether Hashem was supreme. And so
that's right. It was so God's.
Miriam, when she comes into the Beis Hamikdash, she's not some nowadays person who's like atheist and is walking into the Beis Hamikdash and saying like this whole thing is stupid. She's coming in and saying
right.
the God who's in this temple, why aren't you doing
more? Why aren't you doing more? Right. That's right. That's right. Why is this God not working for the Jewish people? Right? It's a very holy thing she's saying. Okay, bottom paragraph. And that perhaps is the reason, says the Klausenberger Rebbe, why the Gemara is so interested in telling us this whole long story. Like, why do they even put this in the Gemara? Such a sad story, an embarrassing story. The kasher nasa lesardiot echad memalcha yevanim v'rases rov oshro. Right? That when she married this, again, this non-Jewish, this Greek government official, and she saw his great success and his great wealth, eich sheyesh lo hon rav, what a person of means, umavazves mamono avur kol toavosav, and a person who spends his money on all sorts of abominable things, kishel uma zeh. And when she compared that and contrasted that Am Yisrael are what? Are davayim, dalim, v'sachufim, that we're so oppressed and trampled and poor at times. Sometimes we suffer such abject poverty. Oz amra shemehanachon shehakesef hazeh yinatein lani Yisrael. Why is the money not being given to the Jewish people? V'ulai d'achrei kol ha'oinchim b'gehenem al rishasa nishar ba nekuda tzrufa halizos. And therefore, after everything that Miriam's going to have to answer for her, again, spiritually criminal behavior, at the same time, we have to try to believe that after paying the price in Gehenna, Hashem will be able to redeem, so to speak, Miriam Bas Bilga for this holy rebellion against God. So he says, Zoaz chus sham delem li yishal b'mimat yishal ben Yochanan. So now we go back to our opening question. Why do we emphasize that he's called Ben Yochanan? The Bnei Yisasar explains that Yochanan is Lashon. Well, everything on Hanukkah, Chanukah, right? Chanukah, Chain, Yochanan. Shoval asked me this week, why was there a lot of Chain in this past week's parsha? It's a lot of Chain because it's a Hanukkah theme. The name Shoval also appears in the parsha. Found your shorish in the Torah. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. So Lashon Chanina. What's Lashon Chanina? Da'af harishayim v'hamisyavdim b'neim. Darshu ubikshu b'tovasam shel Yisrael, she'el hem dai mechsoram ba'osher v'kavod. In other words, there was a certain nesias chen. Right? Chen is a hard word to describe. But even by a Miriam Bas Bilga, there's a certain chen that she had. A certain chanina. Right? Chanun v'rachum. A certain compassion that she had. She felt bad for Jews. She chose to marry out. She married some rich goyish general. And she lived the big life. But it bothered her. It pained her. Why is the Jewish God not provide enough chen for the Jewish people? Where is Hashem's mercy for the Jewish people? It bothered her deeply. Okay? However, let's keep going. You'll see a lot more beautiful things as it goes. Oz Beis. Al kein kari lam ha'elu Chanukah, shu chinuch v'hergal asir gula asida. So therefore these days are called Chanukah, because these are days where we prepare ourselves. Chinuch. We're preparing ourselves for that which is going to happen in the future. And what does the Medrash tell us about the future? The Isa b'Medrash, the Medrash tells us, la'asid lavo kishiyavo kadosh baruch hu l'chalos es ovdi galulim. When the time will come for Hashem to destroy all those who are against Him. Ba'im kol hasarim shamalev ha'omrim lefnei kadosh baruch hu. All of the angels on high, their nations, are going to come to Hashem. And they're going to say, God, why do you favor the Jews? Klum yesh lefanecha maso panim. What's with the favoritism? We favor Jews. Manishtanu elu me'elu. What makes these Jews any better than the rest of the world? Ba'us Hashem, Michal, the Malach Michal, Saneguran Shal Yisrael, Mishtatek. At that moment, Malach Michal is not even going to know what to say. Shenemar Be'is Hahi Ya'amod Sarcham. Michal, the Sar Gadol in Shemayim, is going to be standing there. Michal, the one who always defends us, not going to know what to say. Hashem's going to say, I'll tell you why I favor the Jews. You know why? Jews. I'll tell you why I favor the Jews. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Michal, Nishtatek Esa. Ani Madaber. You don't know what to say, I'll say. Shenemar ani medaber bitztoko rav lahoshia. Be'ez eschus ani galchem. In what merit do I save the Jewish people? Do I redeem the Jewish people? B'shvil ha-tzedaka shayo osim elu melu. Tzedaka. Jewish compassion. Jewish donations to causes. Jewish and Gentile alike. Right? A Jewish attitude of giving tzedaka. The Gemara says that afilu posha Yisrael, even the sinners of Israel, are melei mitzvos kerimon. They're filled with mitzvos like a rimon. And the Tziv, in his commentary on that Gemara, says mitzvos means gemilas chasadim. Stam mitzvos means gemilas chasadim. That even a Jew doesn't keep Shabbos, and doesn't keep kosher, and doesn't keep taras mishpacha, but they're good people. They give a lot of tzedakah. They give to charitable causes. Sometimes the money is a little bit misguided. Maybe it's not to the best causes. But there's a Jewish way of giving, a Jewish compassion. Right? Like the Gemara says in Yevamos, that every Jew has three character traits. Jews are rachmanim, baishanim, v'gomlei chasadim. Rachmanim means that they're compassionate. They're baishanim, they have busha. Right? There's people in the world who, you know, they'll do anything. Jews have their limits. I can't do that, it's too embarrassing. Have a sense of busha. Right? And gomlei chasadim. And the gemilas chasad are the Jewish people. Tikkun olam. Tikkun olam. For some Jews, that's their whole thing, tikkun olam. Right? Charitable causes. Okay, but it's a holy thing, because Hashem says, when the nations of the world say, what makes the Jews different? Tikkun olam. The Jews give more tzedakah. That's the bottom line. We give more tzedakah to the world. And we take care of one another. Again, sometimes only in tragedies do we pull together. But even in Mitzrayim, the Medrash says, we got out of Mitzrayim because the Jews, instead of worrying about fulfilling their own work quota, they started building bricks for other people. They started gathering straw for other people. When we care about each other, that's the greatest ticket to the gula. Let's just finish the paragraph on the page, and then I'll take your comment. V'chein yastu b'birchas ha'chodesh. And that's what we say every month. We come to shul, and we bless the new month. And we say, Misha asa nisim lavoseinu. Hashem, you made miracles for us in the past. V'galo sami avdus l'cheiros. Hu yigalo sanu v'karov. Hashem, we long for redemption once again. And then what do we say? And we know, right? In parentheses, we say to ourselves. We say in our mind. And even though we're not, what are we asking for geula? What merit do we have? What right do we have to ask for geula? We say, in the merit of chaverim kol Yisrael, if we could just provide for one another, then we can have geula. That when Jews come together, no nation of the world has the ability to overpower us. When Jews are united with one another, that's our greatest defense. That's our greatest protection. It's a medrash in this week's parsha, this coming week's parsha. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says that when you call out, your cohorts should protect you. So the Medrash says, Kinuso v'kinos banov is matzilo miyado shal Esav. The Yaakov Avinu's unity and the unity of his descendants is what saves us from the hand of Esav. To be part of a unified people. Ner Ishu Beisel. That's what Hanukkah is about, pulling together the family. Yeah, what do you want to say?
I just wanted to... the idea that stuff from Chesed is what like got us out of the Hanukkah situation.
Yeah.
That's like the idea of Shuba Tfila stuff from Rabbi Yisrael and Zira and the Mazel Yisrael, correct?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, the power of tzedakah is an amazing thing. I gave a shiur Thursday night about how tzedakah is really the root of Hanukkah in a very totally different way. I hadn't even seen this piece yet. Okay? Okay, so that's page one. That was the warm-up. If you're worried, we still have three pages to go. Don't worry, maybe we'll just do one more page. Don't be nervous. Okay? But the next page is gewaltig. You're going to love this next page. This next page is very strong. V'ainyin b'zeh l'fi shechaviv l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu achdus Yisrael shem agudim b'tzara. There's nothing more meaningful than when Hashem sees that His children are coming together. V'echad margish ka'evo shel chaveiro mishtati b'tzaro. When we feel the pain of one another, when a Jew is going through a difficulty, and we join with our fellow Jews in feeling their pain, there's nothing more powerful than that. And how can we not feel each other's pain? Kederach Sha'amr, like the Medrash says, Se Pazuri Yisrael, we're like a sheep. That is, its wool is shorn, that's attacked. Ma se zo, kashihi loika, me'achas me'evarea, kol evarea margishin. Just like if you take an animal and you afflict one of its limbs, so obviously it hurts the entire body of the animal, kach Yisrael. Im neharag echon mehen, kulan margishin of its tharin. If one Jew is killed, God forbid, everyone feels it. You don't have to know the names of the people who were killed in Jersey City last week to say, this matters to me, this affects us. This has to bother us. Chaverim kol Yisrael v'nomar amen. If you want to bring the geula, we have to feel the pain. The same way if you one limb hurts, the rest of the body hurts. So if we see ourselves as one unified entity, then if one Jew hurts, the rest of us hurt. Ve'ein kol echad asuk b'tzarchei atzmo lachshav al inyanov ha'pratim bilvad. That we shouldn't become so self-centered that all I care about is myself. I care if I get the summer internship. Good luck to you. I care if I get into medical school. Good luck to you. I care if I find the shidduch. Good luck to you. No, we have to care about each other, to help each other, to get the job and to find the shidduch and to have success spiritually. Well, I don't have a problem getting up in the morning, so, you know, you wake up in the morning is your problem. No, it's not. It's all of our problems. And your Chilul Shabbos is also my problem. And your lack of emunah is my problem. These are all our problems. Right? We're not independent from one another. Look at the next paragraph. V'chein kosov, zekeni ha-kadosh ha-yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe has a gewaldig vart on the Gemara in Mesechta Sanhedrin. B'shem Eliyahu ha-Navi zachor letov. Perish ha-maimer ein ben David ba at shetich la-pruta min ha-kis. Ever hear this expression? It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Mashiach won't come until there's no pruta in the kiss, until there's, you know, not even a penny in your wallet. What does that mean? A lot of different interpretations of what that means. Is there a prediction? The Gemara is predicting there's going to be tremendous poverty before Mashiach comes? I hope not. What's the pruta and what's the kiss? So Yismach Moshe explained, pruta is the lashon of pratius. What's a prat? Klal means the tzibur. Prat means the individual. The details. So a prut is a lashon of pratius, right? The prata means the details. What's the kiss? The ultimate kiss, Chazal say, is the kis halev. Right? Actually, the month that we're in is called kis lev, the pocket of the heart, right? Or the chamber of the heart. So what does it mean to take the prut out of the kiss? Take the pratius out of your heart. In other words, stop living for yourself. Stop being so selfish and so self-centered. And only caring about yourself, right? And we do it a lot. We really have to rebuke, every one of us has to, we have to rebuke ourselves right now. We have to give ourselves tochacha in an honest way for a second. Every one of us is, we're busy with ourselves, right? And it makes sense, because mishvili nevra ha'olam, and imena nili mili, etc., etc., etc. There's a lot of reasons why we need to be self-motivated and self-sufficient and take care of ourselves, right? But sometimes, like, I don't want to be bothered. I'm not in the mood. Every Sunday, I have like a stream of people knocking my door collecting tzedakah. And sometimes I say, I don't deal with it, you know? That's so selfish. Right? Yeah, maybe I have a tine on this guy who's, you know, sitting in Eretz Yisrael and learning a kol, like, go get a job already. Maybe I hold that his shita sachaim is irresponsible. And he shouldn't be, and it's a disgrace to, you know, have to come to collect money because he can't provide for his children. And he never had a mahalach to provide for his children. Right? Or maybe I could, you know, Baruch Hashem, I have a good paying job, relatively speaking, and I help him. And I can write him a check. And I can help this guy out. And Moshe's such a jerk. Hashem gave you money to be able to help other people, so help other people. Right? Don't make it into a hashkafic debate whether, you know, whether I think a person has a job or not. And that's not the time or place. Right now a guy says, I need money to get my daughter married. Okay, so help him out. Right? Take the pruti, take the pruta, pratius out of your kiss. And it goes very well with the pashup shot, right? So you empty the money out of your, meaning if I see that it's not my money, so then I share it with my fellow Jews. If he's going through pain, so that's something I need to pay money for. I have to invest in that. So get out of your own way. Take the pruta, take the pratius out of your kiss. Hainu kiss halef. Right, the liba de inche kisa bekisa talia, like the Talmud Yushalmi says, that the heart of a person is dependent upon his get. Right? But it means that your heart, so to speak, has a chamber. So the Yisbach Moshe said, Mashiach can't come until we get the pruta out of the kiss, until we get the pratius out of our hearts. And so we stop being so selfish and so self-centered. And Rachmana Letzlan, we always get together when there's a tragedy. Like everyone, all of a sudden, Jews love each other. Everyone loves each other. Because we're reminded. Why does it always take an enemy, a Yimach Shemo, to remind us that we care about each other? That's very sad. Shelo yehem mevakesh tov la'atzmo el ha'klal kulo. Not to be a Jew only seeks for himself. Rabbi Yishmael Shomar b'nei Yisrael ani kaparasan. Like Rabbi Yishmael said, I want to be the kapara. I want to bring kapara for the Jewish people. Right? What am I doing for others? What am I doing for my fellow Jews? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And with this, we can begin to understand the way that we light the menorah. Fascinating. V'yavur b'zeh inyan mahadrin min mahadrin. It's interesting when we look at the mitzvah of halakas ner Chanukah. There's different ways to light the menorah. Shal pi shita satosos ena madlikim ela ner ishu beso velo ner lekol echad ve'echad k'minag mahadrin. That according to Tosfos, right, what is mahadrin min mahadrin? Mahadrin min mahadrin is that you light a new, you add one candle each night, right, to the menorah, meaning. Let's go over for a second. You have three shitas when it comes to lighting the menorah. You have ner ishu beso, right, candle for the house, or you have mahadrin, which is ner lechol echad ve'echad, based on the number of people that you have, and then you have something called mahadrin and mahadrin. How does mahadrin and mahadrin work? Right. Let's say I have 12 people in my house. So mahadrin means lighting 12 candles. So mahadrin and mahadrin is built off of that, or it's a separate track. So Tosa says, no, it's a different track. It's a different track where it goes one candle, two candles, three candles, four candles, five candles, six, seven, eight. Right? It's not an expansion of... Mahadrin is based on the number of people. Mahadrin is one menorah that's indicating, right, that's indicate, or each menorah is indicating the you know, whatever night it is. That's Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Ulefi zet tzarech biur. Lama hi nechshav Mahadrin biosar. Why is that called Mahadrin and Mahadrin? V'ocha Mahadrin... What I just told you. If you have a family of 15 people, so that means Mahadrin tells you to light 15 candles. So more or, more light. And Mahadrin min Mahadrin tells you, no, if it's the third night, light three candles. If it's the fourth night, light four candles. That's a downgrade. Seems to be less light, less candles. But the answer is, it's one level for each person, so to speak, to have their own candle, right? To represent, thank you Hashem for the miracles that you provided for me as an individual. And each member of the household wants to express that. So if there's 10 people in the house, you light 10 candles, each person saying, thank you. Aval eilu hatzadikim shehem madregas mahadrin min mahadrin. But you know what mahadrin min mahadrin is? Mahadrin min mahadrin is a more unified way of lighting. It's a way of saying, I don't want to have my own candle, so to speak. I want to be part of the bias, but in an elevated way. Not just one candle per household. I want to increase the light every night, and that's what we do, right? But I want to, in a certain sense, to share the light. Eilu tzadikim shehem madregas mahadrin mahadrin kol sa etzlam hapratius min akis halev. It removes that selfishness, that self-centeredness from one's heart. Sheshochim legami mitzarcheim hapratiyim. I'm no longer my individual candle, but I see myself as part of the collective. But I want to represent the miracles. I want to thank Hashem for the miracles of Klal Yisrael. Top of the left column. Because I want my menorah to look the same like everyone else's menorah. The third night, everyone lights three candles. I don't want it to say, oh, well, this family has 15 people in the household, and this family has 4 people in the household, and this family has 8 people in the household. I want my menorah to reflect my commitment and my connection to Klal Yisrael. Kamoshim is super, al Rabbi Shaya mikarastir. He tells a story about Rav Shaya lekarastir. Kishenechla pam bino harav hatzadik Rabbi Avram zatzal. One time his son Rav Avram was sick and he started to cry terribly. Bacha ma'od. V'nichlas elav echad hamikur avim. V'daber alibo she'ena matzav chomer kol kach. So one of the relatives came in and said, Rav Shaya, you don't have to cry so much. You know, your son's going to be fine. It's not like he's not deathly ill. Why are you so bent out of shape? Rav Shaila responded, Heshev Rav HaKadosh V'Amar, Lo ala matzav brioso shal b'ni ani mitztar. You think I'm crying so terribly because my son is sick? Al kach shematzavo shal b'ni nogei l'li b'yoser mishar choli Yisrael. V'alda v'adei kabachino. He said, you know why I'm crying? I'm crying over the fact that I know I care more about my son than I care about another person's kid. And that's really bothering me. That's what I'm really bothered about. I know that if someone else's kid was sick, I say, oh, you know, feel better. For my own son, I'm trying to find the right doctor. I'm trying to find the right medicine. I'm standing by his bedside providing for him. Right? But if it was someone else's kid, I would, you know, I'd say, yeah, wish them well. Feel better, you know. I hope you get well soon. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not thinking about it all day. The same way I'm thinking about it when my own child is stuck in bed. And Rav Shaila, who wanted to be, right, who was striving to be a Jew, who understood that we're all one team, it bothered him. It bothered him because he was honest to know that I care more about my own child than I care about someone else. Right? To even be bothered by such a thing as a madriga. To know that there's something that one should strive for, it's a tremendous madriga. So now we understand a little bit, why do we put the Ner Chanukah facing outwards, the entrance to the home? I don't want to lock myself up in my home. It's a mitzvah, let's all go out to the streets a little bit, or to the entrance of our house. As a way of saying what? I don't want this mitzvah to be just about my house. I want it to be a mitzvah that I can share with everyone, the whole world, but more specifically, my fellow Jews. I fulfill through the Ner Chanukah that I sit amongst my people. And I want to just provide, not only provide light for myself and my family and my kids and my wife, I want to provide light for what? For others. And that's why the Ner Chanukah has to radiate outwards. Not to be self-absorbed. And the fact that we light inside nowadays, Kilev yodea maras nafsho she'ina nachtum adrega zo. Very interesting. He says the fact that we, right, that most places in the world, the practice is to light indoors, not at the Pesach Habayis, right? The Kozmer Rebbe saw that as indicative of our madrega. The fact that that's the practice today is an unfortunate reflection. He's not arguing that we should change the minute. Talmid Baal Shem Tov dafka lit inside. There's other reasons for it, right, for another time. But he saw it, it's Kozmer Rebbe saying it's a certain failure. Lefi madrega sena, because we're not as concerned about the outside world and I'm not as connected to my neighbor, maybe that's why in Eretz Yisrael it's more common to light outside. Again, I could argue why that is in halacha, but based on what the Klozenberg Rebbe is saying, there's a greater sense of brotherhood in Eretz Yisrael, even with all the fighting in Eretz Yisrael. But there's a greater sense of, this is a Jewish homeland, my fellow Jews, even with all the, you know, division in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes from a distance it seems like it's even more machlok, it's even more divisive than it is in Chutz La'aretz. But there's a sense, when a Jew is in Eretz Yisrael, there's a sense of, I'm with my brothers. And because of that, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, dafka, you can light outside. To remind yourself that what? That I'm connected to the Jews outside of my bias. I'm not just caught up in my own house. And then he says an amazing halacha in the next paragraph. This is gevaldik. Why do we have a halacha that if you light the Ner Chanukah and then it goes out a minute later, the halacha is you don't have to rekindle it. Why? Light it again. Kav Saf was extinguished. Ein Zokaklo, you already fulfilled the mitzvah. You were Yaitse. Why? Al pi mad matzinu biyom kippur shekivu haner yeshbo mishum simen rachas v'shalom. On Yom Kippur, a married man is supposed to light a candle. There's halachic reasons you need a candle also for after Yom Kippur for Avdala. Right? But there's something called a ner neshama, or a ner bari. There's a ner for like a yahrzeit candle to commemorate those who are not alive. There's also a ner that's supposed to be lit on Yom Kippur as a ner as a sign of good health. A ner bari, a ner neshama, as it's called. And the Svarim say, the Mata Ephraim brings, that if your candle goes out on Yom Kippur, it could be seen as a bad sign. Okay, maybe we take these things seriously, maybe we don't. There is such a notion that if the candle goes out, it's a bad simon. So why in Hanukkah, if your candle goes out, is it not a bad simon? Why don't we say, it's a bad sign. God is rejecting you. Your candle was extinguished. Your candle went out before the time. Why do we say, nah, kof sein zakel. If the candle goes out, don't worry about it. You know what you're saying? You know what you're saying by not relighting that candle, by not being obsessive over your Hanukkah candle? What you're really saying of a Chanukah, Shabo Mis'ala Kol Echad L'Madrega, Shekola HaPratios Min HaKis. On Chanukah, we try to reach a level where what? Where there's a sense of Jewish unity, of connection.
Yeah.
On the level of soul. See, on Purim, they tried to kill our bodies. Our bodies are separate from one another. On Chanukah, they tried to kill our soul. On the level of soul, we're mamish one soul. We're mamish one soul. It happens to be. It looks, it manifests itself. Right, as Max, as Albert, it looks like it's divided up amongst each of us. But Lemaisa, on the level of soul, it's one inyan. So on Chanukah, where we try to remind ourselves, stop being so self-centered. On a spiritual level, we're a team. Kol Yisrael Ravim Zelaza. So therefore, Eino Nivol Mizeh Shneir HaPrati Nichbe. So I don't get all bent out of shape when my personal candle goes out. Because it's not about my candle. It's not about my menorah. The ikkar is the realization that the candle of the Jewish people will burn forever. That the Jewish people's light will never be extinguished. I'm not so obsessive over my Chanukah. I think that's such a beautiful vibe. I'm not so worried about my Chanukah. I try to light my own candle. There's a mitzvah. But I know that my candle is connected to all the other candles. As long as I tried to light it, if it went out, I'm okay. It's not about my candle. My whole machshav is that Klal Yisrael should have neros. Ve'inu zakuk lo lidog avur chai atzo. And I'm not so worried about my own candle. Okay, Chava, let's do one more halacha, one more paragraph for today. He says, perhaps this explains one more halacha about Chanukah, which is totally unique to Chanukah. Ve'amru haroa ner shel Chanukah tzarech levarech. Again, an amazing halacha. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Gimel, Amar Aleph. A person's walking down the street. What do you see? Someone else's menorah. Yeah? So the halacha is you can make a bracha on their menorah. In discussion, is this true even if you have your own menorah? The pasha says, of course not. The pasha says if you have your own menorah, you'll make a bracha on your menorah. But one who doesn't have a menorah can make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavaseinu upon seeing someone else's menorah. That is a very strange halacha. Tosfos a Maseches Sukkah, which he quotes here, says the Bishar mitzvos kagon lulav sukkah lo tiknu lavarich laroa el lagabe ner Chanukah. The only time that we find such an idea, you can't make a bracha upon seeing someone else's sukkah. You can't make a bracha upon seeing someone else's lulav. You can't make a bracha on watching, I don't know, someone eat a perm suda.
The shofar.
Right?
Shofar is an exception.
Why? Why shofar?
You're hearing it. It's like,
what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is hearing.
Right, so you're not blowing it, like, you just...
But the mitzvah is hearing. The mitzvah is hearing. Even the bracha that we make on the shofar is hearing. So you're doing your part. Here, you're watching someone else do a mitzvah, and you're making a bracha on their menorah, on their mitzvah. That's a strange thing. So Tosfos wonders, where does this idea come from? And Tosfos says, it's unique to Chanukah, he writes, Mishum Chavivos Hanes. Because of the awesome love that we feel for the Chanukah miracle, so we're able to even connect to it from a distance. Okay. But it's a strange halacha. It's an unusual thing. How can I make a bracha on someone else's menorah? Turn the page. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, I'll tell you how you can make a bracha on someone else's menorah. You want to know how you can make a bracha on someone else's menorah? I'll tell you. L'darcheinu, based on what we've explained today, Yevuah HaKavana B'zeh, Laharos Sibas HaNes. But if you want to really understand, I'll tell you why you can make a bracha on someone else's menorah. Here's what it means. Shayakol echad sameach mavarech hamashi yesh lachaveira ora v'simcha. Because Chanukah is the Yom Tov where I could say, you know what? I'm happy that my friend has a menorah, even if I don't have a menorah. Chanukah is where we conquer that jealousy. So much of Chanukah, we're going to enter this week's Parsha, next week's Parsha. Shabbos Chanukah. And the Shabbos that's going to lead us into Chanukah. This week, which leads us into Chanukah next Sunday. The Shabbos before Yom Tov is always so much. What are we learning about? We're learning about the fight between Yosef and the brothers. We're learning about Jews who weren't Pa'achtas. Right? And the whole tikkun of Chanukah is to fix that. It's to fix that fight between Yosef and the brothers. So you walk down the street and you see someone else's menorah, and we're talking about a person who doesn't have a bias and doesn't have a menorah. You're a homeless person, Rahmana Litzlan. You don't have a bias, you don't have a menorah. And you look and you see someone else's menorah. Right? I'll make it even sadder. You look up, you're a homeless person, you don't have a bias, you don't have a menorah, you don't have a family. And you look up and you see a nice Jewish family in the window, lighting a menorah. Right? You could be so bitter, you could be so jealous, you could be so angry. Or you could say, you know what? That's also my family. Those Jews are my family, and I'm happy for them. I'm genuinely happy for them. Not the kinah, not the kinah that the brothers felt to Yosef at Tzaddik. Right? That's everything these parashios are about. That deep hatred and jealousy, the sinah and the kinah. Yeah, kinah is gematria Yosef. They felt such a kinah, such a jealousy towards Yosef. Such an anger and frustration. And Chanukah is about what? Fixing our eyes, developing a good eye towards one another. To have an ayin tova. To be able to see in the right way. So says the Shefa Chaim, says the Klausenberger Rebbe, the Kavana is to teach us. When I see my friend's success, I want to make a brach on it. And if I see a Jew suffering at the hands of a Greek or anyone else, it pains me. But that was part of what the Klausenberger Rebbe is arguing. He's saying that was part of the miracle of Chanukah. That even though the Jews were somewhat assimilated and they had lost their way, that Miriam Bas Bilga, like we started with, could walk into the base of Mikdash and say, Hashem, I'm angry at you for not taking care of the Jews. They spend a lot of money on you. You should be a better God to them. And therefore we celebrate the holiday by what? By being able to make a bracha, to make a bracha on someone else's Chanukiah. Yeah.
Something based on last week's parsha that we just read.
Let's hear.
So these last few parsha we're talking about Yaakov and Esav, two brothers who from day one always battling it out, fighting, until this last week's parsha where they met up finally.
Right. Even Yaakov and Esav are having some type of reconciliation. Yeah.
And they came together and they cried on one another, and there's
right.
some opinions that mean like it was true love, it was true
right.
it was
right.
true crying. So the word says it's vayivku, that they cried on one another,
okay.
two brothers coming along. So vayivku is gematria geula. When two brothers come with one another,
very nice,
cry with one
very
another,
nice, very nice. There is an opinion that was a real achdus and a real reconciliation. Right? You could also say it's a very not real reconciliation, and the Torah is dafka contrasting Yaakov and Esav, which is like a fake achdus that they had, meaning, and then Yosef and the brothers who are fighting over something amistic, right? Like in a paradoxical way, the Torah is presenting: look at Yaakov and Esav. And look how their unity is not a real unity. And even the fighting of Yosef and the brothers, but they have to, that's where real unity can be found. And eventually Yosef and the brothers do reconcile in a certain way. Okay, I said that was the last paragraph, but let me just tell you what it says about dreidel. I'll tell you what it says about dreidel, because everyone loves a dreidel part, no? You can't end without a dreidel part. Just skip the next paragraph, we'll do one last paragraph for today. Everyone wants a good dreidel part, no? Here's one you never heard before. Why do we play dreidel on Chanukah? Gambling. You can't gamble. Gambling's terrible. However, you can't gamble. You heard it here first. Gambling's a terrible thing. Besides that it's self-destructive and it sends a person into a really dark place, it's against the halacha. So why are you allowed to gamble? So you're like, dreidel's not gambling, you know. Play with a couple of pennies maybe. But sometimes, you know, sometimes people play big money dreidel. I'm not recommending it. But how can we be malamid tzchus on dreidel where there's real money on the table? So the Klausenberger says an amazing part. He says, you know why? What's the problem with gambling? What's the problem with betting? Yeah? We have a halacha. He says, Ein b'kach hashash iser mesachei b'kuvya. On Chanukah, we're not worried about gambling. Why? Mesachei b'kuvya, a person can be puzzled to edus. Why are we not worried about it? Dehavei asmachta v'asmachta lo kanya. Because we have a rule that sometimes when a person bets on something, why do I gamble? Because I think I'm going to win. Which means that when I lose, I'm not really meichel to losing that money. And therefore, there's a little bit of an inability to relinquish the money. And a little bit when the other person takes the money, it smells a little bit of a gneva, of a gzela. Right? There's a lack of ability to acquire. The person's not really okay with you taking their money. The only reason they bet is because they thought they were going to win money. Everyone thinks they're going to win. Right? But some people lose. So they're not really okay with losing the money. Yeah? But on Chanukah, kevin she'ein makpidim ze al ze, on Chanukah, right, we're not makpid on one another. In other words, on Chanukah, we allow each other because of the achdus that we feel. We're happy to let someone have success at my expense, because that's what we're learning today. That on Chanukah, it's all about that Jewish unity that we're trying to rectify. Right? Like it says in Pirkei Avos, a chassid says, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours. The same way I can celebrate your menorah, I can make a bracha on your menorah, because I'm happy for you. The same way that I get the pruta out of my kis. The same way that if my candle goes out, it's okay, because it's not about my candle. It's about the Jewish people. The light of the Jewish people will shine forever. And that, again, is the limud zchus of the Klozenberger Rebbe on Miriam Bas Bilga. She came into the Beis HaMikdash, she trampled the Mizbeach and said, Hashem, you got to take better care of the Jewish people. So look how even a woman who had strayed so far from Torah values, but there's such a, at the core of a Jew, there's a love of Gemilas Chasadim. Every Jew is Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomle Chasadim. That's why Gemilas Chasadim, the Ben Ish Chai says, Gemilas Chasadim is Gematria Torah. In a certain sense, it's the very essence of Torah. And that's why we say Magen Avraham, right? Okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. Who do we conclude with? We conclude with Avram. Because even we don't know how to learn, and we don't know how to daven, and we don't know how to... But you know what we still do? And we do maybe in an unprecedented way today? Chesed. There's unbelievable chesed. People who have very different, you know, hashkafos, can still provide chesed for one another. They can still have a certain baseline of caring about one another. Yeah, what do you want to say?
I'm talking about the gambling stuff, but this year the... Fantasy football championships on Chanukah.
The fantasy football championships on Chanukah. Wow. Okay, so we can be Malam Yitzchus, that it's not usher to be involved in fantasy football. Because it's on Chanukah, and on Chanukah, we're not Makpidin Zelza. All right, but we should love each other in a real way. And again, it's a good piece to think about, again, especially in light of the very sad tragedy that happened last week. And more information is coming out. It sounds even scarier than it could have been. Rahman al-Hassan even... Much worse, Baruch Hashem, it wasn't. But you know, we have to genuinely care about each other, and want each other to be successful, and look out for each other, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in all aspects. All right, we should be zoche to feel that way, be emes about each other. Chaverim kol Yisrael.